welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Okay, folks, it's now or never. If we don't start getting engaged and we don't start actually acting like our liberties depend on it, like our very lives and the survival of our posterity depends on it, then I'm afraid to say that you have some splaining to do with your children and your grandchildren. Because when they ask you, when you saw some of these things happen, how come you didn't do something? I mean, there's a lot of memes like that. I've been stating this for a long time. Because most people think, we just use the election process. All we need to do is get the right people in. No, it's not about the right people. It's about the right paradigm that you have to take. Because bottom line, you are the problem. If you do not articulate very specifically and you start, if you stop running down myopic issues. It's not about abortion. It's not about education, critical race theory, and everything that they're throwing at you in the news. It is about your liberty, and it is all about the Constitution. Everything that you are complaining about is stemming from unconstitutional government, period. Your education system, where in the Constitution does the federal government have the authority to even be involved in education? Did the states amend the Constitution to grant them or delegate that authority? Absolutely not. It's the same thing with energy. It's the same thing with agriculture. It's the same thing with labor. It's the same thing with, and I could go on and on. And it's even the same thing with the Department of Transportation. Don't believe me? Go to our YouTube channel, Reclaiming the Republic. And watch that video, 3 presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation. These aren't just obscure outlier vetoes. This is James Madison, the father of the Constitution. James Monroe, a framer and a member delegate who was actually against the Constitution as an anti-federalist, but he became, I'll just say, a Republican. And he became a Federalist as well. If you read some of his comments at the end of the ratification debates, he actually acknowledges that this Constitution does protect the people. Folks, even Andrew Jackson, the first Democratic president, cited Monroe and cited James Madison and James Monroe in his veto speech. 3 presidents vetoed Congress's attempts not to create a Department of Transportation, but just to start exercising infrastructure improvements like what Biden is doing today. The illiteracy regarding our history and regarding our government, what they've done and how the framers defended this Constitution for as long as they possibly could. That's why they really tried to make it as simple as possible. And wouldn't you know it, lawyers and politicians and bureaucrats have done everything they can to obfuscate and make it like it is a complex thing. And it's not. However, as I promised, we're going to get into a statewide race and the paradigm of a statewide race just in Idaho alone. We're going to give this to you as an example. And I promised a politician, actually a couple of politicians that are running in Idaho, that I was going to do this. Now, this is not to throw them under the bus. And as a matter of fact, those who I've reached out to, I have basically, offered them, my assistance as well as, and some guidance as well as, be able to come on and actually talk about the issues. But the problem is that they need to understand what the issues really are. You can't complain about not being able to get through the room and then, do things that are dealing with the symptoms. Well, we need to make the room wider and the doors away from the elephant because we don't want to talk about the elephant in the room. And a leader talks about the elephant in the room, and as a matter of fact, as soon as the electorate hears these types of messages of leading and addressing the actual problems and not the symptoms, you will find that the electorate will really gravitate towards you, period. if you are addressing the problems. And I'm going to give you a classic example, but I'm going to read some messaging and then why that messaging is absolutely wrong and why a leader really has to have the difficult conversations instead of making easy assumptions. And so we will get into that, as I promised, because my word means something to me, and I hope your word means something to you. Anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, isn't it interesting, before I really get into, because I want to do one little monologue, because of what's going on in China right now, isn't it interesting how Bing, I mean, if anybody uses Bing, because I've seen people that use Bing as their desktop, I don't, but every once in a while, I'll use Bing just to kind of glance at what the progressives and how they spin the news, as well as some other news sites. But I always found it interesting that Bing is using these photographs of beautiful country where there's, you know, hardly anybody that is in there because it's just so hard to get to. And there's no reason to get there. At least nobody has discovered a reason why, you know, like some, you know, rare earth minerals are kept there. Maybe they have, and they're just keeping those on tap, or keeping those untapped, I should say. But anyway, the way Google, Microsoft, and all of big tech is doing everything they can to suppress the bad news coming out of China, such as the hostile takedown or the removal of, I guess it was a Dutch reporter. Folks, this is a I get tongue-tied when I try to say a totalitarian government. It is a fascist government. This is the direction of America. We're all heading towards a totalitarian fascist government. And that's exactly what the liberals want. They point to the liberty-minded people and say, "Oh, they're fascist." No, actually, there's nobody telling you what you have to do, but there are people telling you, you can't make me do what you want me to do because I have an objection, a conscientious objection. And that is an absolute right. That's a property right of every individual. Remember, it was Madison that stated that one may have rights in their they have rights in their property, but more importantly, they have property in their rights. So some things that you may not recognize is not property. Actually, it is. Your intellectual property, your protection of your body, those types of things are your property. You have rights, or actually property in those rights. Because when the state allows those rights to be taken from you, they're stealing your property. Anyway, I will try not to be tongue-tied moving forward. Fortitude Financial Coaching, if you're looking for good financial advice and services, contact Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching down in Dallas, Texas. Constitutional Education, Keith Borders out of Florida. He is actually providing, I believe it's just spot on, really good training that you can share with your children to help them start to understand, and even yourself. There's a different, he uses and explores different methodologies of how to teach the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the founding documents, and those types of things, history, to your children and even to you. ConstitutionEducation.us. If you're looking for really quality hardwood furniture, TimberNation.com. Go there. These guys are out of Pennsylvania. They'll do anything and however you want. As a matter of fact, if you don't see it there, figure it out, design what you want, send it to them, and they will work with you and actually give you an awesome product. I love my hardwood solid walnut desk. There's no particle board at all in this. And because of my mobility, because of my lungs and everything else, I don't have, you know, all of the energy and time to do everything I need to be doing in a day. But I'm getting there, and we've actually got it set up. We've got it basically protected. We've got everything that I think we want to do. And so it's just a matter of doing some finishing touches and moving some computers and some equipment off of here and so forth. But we're going to get a picture. We're going to get it up there to them so that they can actually start showing this. Then maybe they'll talk to me again. Because that's what they want. They want to be able to show off how you show off their furniture, because that's what they're making. It's like pieces of art. Anyway, RadioDustCovers.com. If you have equipment to cover or if you need something to cover something, contact RadioDustCovers.com. Especially if you've got high-end audio equipment, radio equipment, and so forth, things that are very susceptible to dander, dust, ashes, and smoke, and so forth. Check them out. And Ad Local, I can't say enough about Ad Local and Ben Carr. If you are looking to actually start getting organized and you need an email service, why go to Constant Contact? Why go to MailChimp? Because they can deplatform you, and they have deplatformed conservative organizations. Stop supporting these types of companies. Shoot, I think Nike is, as far as I'm concerned, they're just trying to play both sides of the fence, just like kind of like Trump, buying the candidates and the politicians on both sides of the aisle, just so that he can, you know, have control on both sides, whoever wins. It's all about hedging his bet. And that's what a businessman does. But a businessman doesn't necessarily have scruples. A businessman does what they believe is sometimes best for themselves. And this is why we have to hold businesses and businessmen, like with those mentalities, accountable. But anyhow, not that I'm trying to be anti-Trump here. We're going to be right back after these two promos, and we're going to dive into these election issues. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so as I promised, we're going to get into this candidate positioning, the issues, addressing them, how they're addressing them, and so forth. And as a matter of fact, I should be charging for this, but I don't. I want to see constitutional candidates be elected. In 2020, we were able to get 17 good. Unfortunately, they weren't committed because we weren't in necessarily the position to get them to commit, because we need you to actually do that. You need to actually stand up and say, we want you to commit to this, 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 and this. One of the things that I cannot say enough of is that this campaign in 2020 must be, or a big part of this campaign must be, the unconstitutional seating of President Biden. I'm not talking about the election fraud, and I'm not talking about the voter fraud. I am talking about the states that violated the Constitution and how Congress accepted an unconstitutionally formed electoral college. I'm not talking bad about the electoral college. We're looking to actually try to get the electoral college restored. That's another conversation that you have to have with your state legislators. Get them to quit perverting our electoral college. That electoral college is your representative. Tell them to go read Article 2, Section 1, and the 12th Amendment, and ask them how is it that they are ensuring that our electoral college is being protected. It is our mechanism in choosing our president. We don't have a popular vote. It is all about the electoral college. And we're the ones that are supposed to vote for it. And it is repugnant in a Republican form of government to allow your representation to be actually turned away from you and taken from you. And the winner-take-all theory is just another violation, letting the party do it and then letting the party that wins the popular vote. Are you kidding me? Seriously. This is how we've become a two-party system. Because your electors can't even choose. What would happen if all of a sudden your electors were then forced to actually choose? Just imagine this. You have 30, let's just say 30 candidates for president. And of course, you should have zero candidates for vice president. Why? Because the electors should be the ones choosing who is president and who is vice president. It's independent, not by ticket. That's not in the Electoral College either. This is how the party has been able to, by using primaries and creating tickets, to ensure that they have full control over the executive. Are you kidding? Am I the only one that has been able to find this and see this? No, when I talk to people that really understand the Constitution, they go, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right and well stated. Anyway, let me get into what I want to get into. But before I do, there is one thing. We're going to get into the bill that we've done for Wyoming. And this will probably be coming next week. And what we're going to do is we're going to show you the bill that's going to be basically laid out in front of the legislature. And we're going to show you the argument that's going to be laid out. We're going to actually get this, hopefully, this argument, and we'll send notices out to the local press so that the local press can, take a look at that, and they can cite that article if they want to, word for word. I don't think that there's anything in there where they're going to find, some assassination attempt, but they tend to, paraphrase and really twist things to make it seem like, oh, these people are really evil. These hardcore constitutionalists, boy, they're the worst. They're domestic terrorists. And that's how we're being labeled. Anyway, so we're going to get into this and what the byproduct from this should be. Because bottom line, what we're creating is a key issue in Wyoming for the electorate to say, you know what, if you're not going to support our Constitution, I'm not voting for you anymore. That bill was clearly about supporting the Constitution and ensuring, both with an E and an I, ensuring that constitutional compliance will be obtained in Wyoming. So with that, you want to run for office. You're out there and you think, I think I could be a good governor. I think I can be a good legislator. I think I could be a good county commissioner. Just remember, in a Republican form of government, our sovereigns are our legislators, and we underpay them terribly. What the heck? Where's this paradigm come from where we can't reasonably compensate a legislator, because these guys should be making what the average lawyer in the state makes at a minimum. at a minimum. Now, there's way too many lawyers, and they have top ends and bottom ends, and so I think the salary would actually work out. I haven't gone to pay scale, but I should. I should go to pay scale and find out what the average lawyers, you know, that mean for lawyers, because that's what they should be getting. These guys are writing the law that actually is these lawyers have to enforce, defend, or attack. And so we do not compensate them enough, but let me move on. One of the biggest things, and I want to point this out before I actually get into this, because this candidate is talking about taxes. Try not to ever make the mistake of making promises on taxes. Might I remind you, George Bush, read my lips. That came back to haunt him. And as a matter of fact, I believe he actually helped with using that. And so using that for Clinton, because if you understand where, you know, George Bush looked at Clinton and actually became admired by him and how great he was in moving the globalist agenda forward, you know, George Bush, senior, actually called Clinton. He felt Clinton was one of his sons. That's how evil the Bushes are. But anyway, I don't want to digress. Leaders, let me just say this. Leaders address, so you want to be a leader, because that's what a politician should be, is a leader. Unfortunately, we have nothing but managers in our government as politicians. So if you want to be a leader, you have to address the problems, and excessive taxes is just a symptom of the problem. When you look at a problem, you know, like you got a room and there's something in it that you just can't, you know, walk right through from one door to the door on the opposite side of the room. You have to kind of walk around this big thing. And so the problem isn't making the room bigger so that you can move that door and not have to go around that big thing. That's not how you solve that problem. You have to address the big thing that you're going around instead of making the room bigger and moving the door. Does that make sense? I know it does. But bottom line, that elephant in the room, we have to address every time. And a real leader is quick to identify what the elephant is and actually start identifying what we have to do to get that elephant out of the room. Can we spare the elephant? Is the elephant worth sparing or deserving to be spared? And we know we're talking metaphorically. Okay, so I'm not talking about hacking up a live elephant. What I'm talking about is addressing the problem instead of the symptom. So this is the candidate that I want to use this because I've actually reached out to this candidate and several other statewide candidates in Idaho. And it bothers me when I tell them that I can give them constitutional positions and a way to lead forward. It really bothers me when a politician comes up and says, yeah, or they actually say nothing. They just ignore you. And you know that they've received your message. You know that they, you know, understand where you're standing. What that means and what that tells you, folks, is this person isn't a leader. This person isn't willing to actually lead for you. They're going to manage issues for whoever is there. It's the monkey on the string scenario, right? You got the organ grinder. That's the person that's paying to help this person get into office. Once this person gets into office, then you know what happens. He who pays the piper calls the tune. And so the organ grinder starts grinding the tune that this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You want to win, and you want to win resoundingly, because it's not about the money that you're getting that helps you get your message across, because the best message is word of mouth. And if you're going to talk about a symptom of the problem, because you know taxes is a huge issue with the voters, then why is it that you're walking around the elephant in the room? So that's why we're kind of getting into this. So I'm going to read a little bit out of an email that this candidate has sent out and how they kind of frame the problems. So here we go. In Idaho, county property tax is figured by using a levy formula. local tax assessors are given the freedom to decide the assessed value of property in their area. As more property is built, the overall value increases. Therefore, growth in a county can lead to an increased rate in property tax. Or should she say revenue? Should it be like revenue? Increased rate in revenue? Because if the property tax is based on whatever the arbitrary values are, whether that be Zillow or however they assess, because property is kind of assessed at the same standards across the nation. But what they do is they tie a percentage to whatever that property value is, and they try to increase it if it's not enough. But let me finish her writing here, and we'll get into this. We'll be right back after this. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, let me read forward on this so you can kind of see the argument. And then it's probably already obvious to you what the elephant is here, but let me move on. Although there are many other factors involved, the county property tax in Idaho is determined by using a levy formula. With this formula, each county tax assessor determines the total assessed value of property within the county. Excuse me. As California decays into a totalitarian state, we have seen an influx in Idaho of people who are searching for freedom and a new beginning. While we welcome everyone with open arms, we must also work to ensure that the livelihoods of Idahoans remain secure. So I'm not sure how that tied in, but there's logic to everything. Sometimes some of us don't think the same way. At the end of the fiscal year in 2021, so here's the interesting part. At the end of the fiscal year in 2021, the state of Idaho had a record surplus of $890 million. In 2022, our surplus is expected to be or to reach almost $2 billion. So they're basically going to be doubling up on this surplus. Okay, recently the House Speaker, whose name I'll withhold as well, decided that Governor Little, who's a tyrant, who should actually, we'll talk about this, Governor Little's tax proposal was good enough for Idaho. In reality, this legislation represents only a fraction of what should be done. For example, Idaho's top margin tax rate is only set to drop from 6.5 to 6%. That still leaves us paying higher taxes. Idahoans deserve to see more significant changes in our tax code. Taxes have been much lower in the past, and although the governor's proposal does a lot for a decrease in income taxes, there is so much more that could be accomplished. I believe that what people really want to see, because that was the end of her part. I believe what people really want to see is leaders talking about their, especially after the COVID lockdowns and the tyrannical government, people want to see their constitutional rights preserved. I think there needs to be a dialogue that Governor Little had violated his oath of office. It's been proven. I've proven this. Every governor that took away your right to go to work, your businesses' rights to operate, and so forth in the name of a state of emergency, I'm sorry. I am sorry. The Constitution does not facilitate allowing states of emergencies called by the states or even by the federal government. You cannot, because what they're doing and what they did was they declared martial law without actually using those two words. Martial law can only be declared when the militia is deployed. It is only for a military emergency, or I should say a national defense emergency. There's never been an amendment because, you know what, we've had natural disasters for years and years and years. What did they do when they had hurricanes? What did they do when they had tornadoes? Was there ever a declaration of, you know, of emergency? You know, some national emergency or some state of emergency that they wanted to declare back in those days? And what did that mean? Did that mean that you couldn't go to church? Did that mean that they could take away your precious rights? As of the 14th Amendment, no state can make or create or enforce any law that infringes or abridges the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen. Kind of paraphrasing, it's pretty close. The fact is, when Governor Little actually took away your right to religious services, assembly, and those types of things, and said you had to stay home, he violated everybody's constitutional rights. And he doesn't have the power to do that, even if the state created some national emergency or state of emergency type of law. I'm sorry. Those laws do not trump the U.S. Constitution. Now, it's one thing to get up there and say, we've got to do everything we can, but I don't have the authority to violate the Constitution. But Governor Little didn't care. So why is it that this isn't a conversation? Why isn't this an elephant or one of the elephants in a different room being brought up? This needs to be brought up. We need to start making examples, and public servants need to stand up and set the example that I will never trample on your rights. I will die defending them, because in war, we send warriors to fight for our freedom and to preserve our liberty in our lands. Now, when we're talking about a political warfare, who is it that's supposed to do our fighting? Our warriors are our public servants. They need to make sure that the laws are in place to keep, which is the 14th Amendment, to keep states or to keep any type of public servant at any level of government from being able to violate your rights. That's why, if you read that again, no state can make or enforce any law that infringes upon the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen. Okay, so putting that all into context, that needs to be one of the leading conversations in Idaho, because most of those people want to see their constitution and their rights preserved. They're still kind of trying to recover from this tyranny. But that being said, okay, taxes is a favorite issue. But what we actually have to do is we actually have to start addressing the real problem. What is government spending its money on? We have enumerated governments. We do not have general powered governments that they can whimsically decide what they want to spend. The only reason they have taxes is to perform the duties that we have delegated to them in these constitutions. One of the real problems that we have is every state has amended their constitution, adopting unconstitutional mandates from the federal government because the federal government had usurped these powers. A good example of that is Obamacare. Where in the Constitution is there an enumerated power that the federal government can make any law in pursuant to that Constitution regarding health care or regarding life and abortion? When you really start looking at this, when you actually have the right context to that Constitution, now you can actually start applying leadership and saying, okay, so what are we supposed to be spending our money on? What government are we spending money on that we shouldn't be spending money? Let's first identify, because 9 times out of 10, even though you may have a surplus, my hat's off to Idaho, you may have a surplus, that doesn't mean you're addressing the problem. If government continues to spend money on the services, and I don't care, you know, if there's going to be people that are going to be harmed and hurt, you're doing more harm by creating more dependency to government. There is nothing more powerful in a person's life than when they reach that point of self-sufficiency and self-reliance. When they stand up and say, you know what, I'm doing this on my own. I've put this roof over my head and I'm paying for it. I'm not beholding to my government. I'm not beholding to, you know, these people. I'm actually providing services. I'm actually doing something that is helping me actually survive. I have made a viable career for myself. Folks, you're denying as a public servant by creating welfare, by creating the ways for them to game these systems, then what we have is we have government causing the problem. Go, if you do the research, if you look at the history going back to when they started instituting basic, you know, what I call social programming, when you look at wage controls, when you start looking at welfare, when you start looking at all of these entitlements that you start handing out to people, where's my free veterinary service? I mean, I got dogs. Everybody has a pet. We should be able to have free services, right? No, you have to pay for those. You want a pet? There you go. You want to have a family? There you go. We should not, as a society, be underwriting life. We shouldn't be doing it. If there's any organization, any institution under this sun, in this earth that we live, or on this earth that we live, if there is any entitlements whatsoever, it should be equal access to the opportunities of success and failure. That's it. We should not be able to create any type of entitlement or dependency. We all, and I get it, there are people out there that are destitute, whether they be widows that can't, you know, afford to, you know, pay for themselves or live, you know, a lifestyle that would actually help them survive, or those who are handicapped, disabled, or what have you. Okay, but that's not everybody. And the organization and institution that does this best, that puts government to shame, are religious and community service institutions where people are doing compassionate services to truly help these people, to help them get back on their feet, to give them and restore their dignity in their lives. Anyway, I'm ranting. Let me move on. So when you start looking at the taxes, you don't talk about cutting taxes. You don't talk about we're not going to have any new taxes. What you have to do is you have to talk about what are we spending our money on. You know, we're probably spending, if we got a surplus, and I see government is already bloated, you have to start looking at what is it that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, and let's cut that. Yeah, and then we can start addressing what budget we should have and then live within that budget. Now, we have solutions for all of these things, and we can get into all of these things. And I'd love to talk to these politicians of how they can lead that state into a state of self-reliance and a state that is lean, mean, and a one heck of a production machine. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me be clear here. I've gone through a comprehensive list of what it takes to actually get our government back into alignment and conforming with the Constitution and the principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. We've gone through this on the radio show. And so we'll go through it again. This whole show is not to talk about, you know, what's going on in the Olympics, what's going on in the sports, or what's going on in the Ukraine. Those are the distractions, my friends. If you want to secure our liberty, we have to focus on what we need to do to basically put off, to fight and get rid of this tyranny. And we have everything we need right there within the U.S. Constitution. Only the Lord knew what we would need in these days and times. He knew we would be facing these days and times. I mean, look at Revelations. Folks, we have to start using the Constitution. And if we do that, then I'm telling you, we're going to win this battle, because it will defend us and it will knock down and destroy our enemy. First and foremost, now, let me get into what I truly believe the electorate wants. And I hope every candidate that's listening to this, they take this to heart. First and foremost, the people need the ability to enforce their constitution and remove public servants quickly and easily in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And these types of laws being enacted is a game changer, and you, the electorate, need to start demanding this. You need to tell them, we want the ability to remove you if you violate your oath of office. That oath means something. It is a legal process that a person must affirm or swear to that they will support and defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. That is the fundamental oath of every U.S. citizen. And if you go look at the oath of a citizen, it actually states that, to support and defend against enemies foreign and domestic. And so the oath of office is that they're now legally bound to support that Constitution. And in so doing, that means that they have to fight the enemies of that Constitution because they are the warriors. our political class, our public servants, are those that actually have to be fighting this Bolshevik revolution that has manifested itself both in government and in our streets. All public servants must support the Constitution as their number one constituent. And when they are supporting the Constitution, they are serving you best by protecting your liberties and your rights. So, one of the things that they also have to do to be able to do this so that they know what to do in supporting the Constitution, my friends, is they have to definitize the Constitution. What does that mean? What does definitizing the Constitution really mean? It's like canonizing the Bible, truly creating what is the ultimate and the purest text and what the meaning of each line means. Because that's technically the scriptures are defining and helping, you know, create an understanding of the laws, of God's laws. Well, we have the scriptures to the Constitution. We've read them several times here. We go through the scriptures of the Constitution on a regular basis, and that is the ratification debates. So let me explain to you, if you don't know already, what the Constitution, how to definitize it is. The Constitution, first off, the reason it needs to be definitized is that the federal government is using this thing called the annotated Constitution, which is almost 4,000 pages. It's working its way into 4,000 pages long. What they're doing is, as they discover that they need to do something more, they add it to the Constitution, and then they exercise that. And that's how they get away with it. They've been able to make it up as they go along. And that's why they've usurped so many powers. So we have to definitize that that is not the Constitution that the states authorized. That's not what they signed up for. They don't have the ability to add one word to that Constitution that is political heresy, what the federal government is doing. So what they have to do is they have to basically take the organic Constitution. The Constitution was ratified by the 13 states and no extra language. And all amendments, the language of the amendments that have been ratified. And then they need to go into each of the ratification debates and pull out how the Federalists defined this line in the Constitution. And as they defined this line in the Constitution, because that's what they did, they actually defined what those lines mean. Those definitions that were provided during the ratification debates, because of fundamental contract law, the tenets of contract law is if you describe and set terms to a very specific clause in the Constitution, or to a contract, because the Constitution is a compact. When you set the definitions, clarity, or terms to what a line means in that contract, that becomes a legally binding definition. That's fundamental contract law. So this is why we have to start adding and inserting how the states received the definitions of that Constitution, because that's how we're supposed to live by it. That's exactly what Madison said in 1821. When they asked him for his notes on the convention, the Constitutional Convention, he said, it doesn't matter what we thought. It doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters is how the states understood it at the point of ratifying it. Because that's why they chose to ratify it, is how they understood it, how it was explained. Fundamental contract law. As you start really recognizing what we have here, folks, it is just an amazing document. Because when you put it into that context, and everybody just walks around this and they don't even know this, because we've been indoctrinated to think we have a living document as a constitution. No, we have a compact. It's like a power of attorney. It's a specified power of attorney. The states created a specified power of attorney that would create the federal government and delegate very specific powers, and that's it. No more. All done. Shut up, go home, and do your job, federal government. So anyway, this is why we need to definitize the Constitution and actually move all of these definitions as an attachment to the Constitution. In so doing, you take away the jurists, the judge, and the juries and the lawyers from being able to spin interpretations. Oh, well, we think it means this. No, you don't have to think, judge. We've already got the definitions of how it was described and what the intent of that line meant. We don't need your interpretation. We don't need your magical crystal ball and your soothsaying. And that's how we've gotten into this mess, is because they've aggrandized their positions by bypassing, because they've had the ratification debates for years. And as a matter of fact, one of the biggest violators of the Constitution that created the footings for all of this unconstitutional government was John Marshall. John Marshall happened to be a Federalist and actually happened to state some definitions in the ratification debates that he contradicted when he was in his rulings as the Chief Justice for the Supreme Court. So which part of the justice, Chief Justice Marshall, what part of his life and the words are legally binding to what the Constitution means? It has nothing to do with his opinions. It has everything to do with how he was selling that compact. And that's what would always stand up in a court of law when you are facing a contract violation. It doesn't matter what he said out in public afterwards. It matters what he said in testimony in the selling of that. These were legally, the ratification was legal formations. These were legal processes, and the testimonies, because these people were under oath, and the testimonies that they bore became legally binding. Nobody understood that, or actually the few people that understood that did everything they could to ensure that they obfuscated that. Now, over 200 years later, I am telling you, our framers are speaking from the dust in those very particular documents, because they're telling us exactly what that Constitution means. Now, let me move on. And as a matter of fact, those of you who actually, want to understand how to run an office, or how to run for office, I should say, I'm giving you the key points here. These are the things that you need to get out there. And I'm telling you, if you actually articulate these things and you actually resonate, you will be resonating with the electors, but you will get and reach them to their core. They will recognize the truth, and they will stand and defend you, and they will fight for you in any and every way they possibly can, because they know you are actually going to do everything you can to protect them. Now, the problem is, currently, political races are all about whether we like you or not. I think you'd be a good person. Well, we hope that. Every mother and father hopes that their children grow up to be good people. Bill Clinton seemed like a nice guy, right? Fact is, folks, we absolutely have to demand leadership. And we need to start recognizing what is leadership when they succinctly define the elephant in the room and then talk about the real problem. And that's what you want in a leader. And I truly believe that this person, this candidate, and the other candidates that I've reached out to, I believe they are leaders. I believe they can be taking these positions. And if they do, it will change the momentum of their campaign. See, when a leader starts leading, all of a sudden the other candidates have to start following. They have to start defending their positions. So I'm going to cover more of this in our next episode tomorrow. So please stay tuned, because I want to give you all the keys to the kingdom. We will be back tomorrow. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.